we're talking about this morning is hope. Well, what is hope? I looked it up, of course. The definition of hope is a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. That's our hope sometimes. You know, that's what we think, right? When I come to church, when I get up, I expect something, right? When we go to work, everything we do in life, we have an expectation. Sometimes it's a negative expectation. Sometimes it's a positive expectation. But we have these expectations, right? My expectations at church is always positive. I want to have a positive experience at church. Amen?
Amen.
How about you? You want to have a positive experience at church, right? But what happens when you want to have a positive experience, but yet you're going through this time where you're down in the dumps? Or you don't feel good? Or, you know, things are just, life's not going your way. You know, sometimes it's like that. We have health issues. We have all these things that go on in our life from time to time. One thing I like about hope is there's differences in hope. Some people have hope in winning the lottery. They spend half their paycheck trying to, because they got hope that one of these days they're going to win the lottery and they're going to be rich and then all their problems will be over. But then when you read the statistics, because I've heard these people say this, so when you read the statistics about things, the people that win the lottery, most of them are broke within a year or two. Well, they've lost all hope again. So it didn't help them any, did it? But you know what? We have hope in something that is not seen. Because things that we see, is what Paul said, if you have hope in things that you see, it's not really that good, is it? Because, you see it. It's there. But hope in things that you don't see. Man, we have hope in Jesus Christ, don't we? That's what He wants. I mean, we have hope in a Savior. We have hope in something that we don't see, but it's something that we know in our heart that we've got heaven to look forward to. We've got eternity to look forward with Him. We have salvation given to us because of hope. But hope doesn't always come in good times. Hope is not in good times. Hope is mostly in hard times. One other part I like about hope is it's an aspiration, it's a desire, it's a wish, it's an expectation, it's an ambition, it's an aim, it's a goal. That's my goal, right? Hope in Jesus. So I've got a goal set. I have a plan. I have a design. You getting what I'm saying this morning? I have a dream. I'm gonna read some more of these because I love this. I have confidence. I have faith. I have trust. I have belief. I have conviction. And I have assurance. If you're a believer this morning, those should fit right into your life. They should fit into your life no matter where you're at, whether you're down, having a bad day, or whether you're having a good day. That's where your hope is. You know, I know we struggle, and I know the things that I've been going through in life, here lately even, you know, and I've had bad times in my life where I just thought, you know, God, what's going on? And just like here recently, I've been sick, and I'm thinking, really, at this time, where, you know, you're using me the most in my life, and I want to say that. I feel like God's using me the most in my life has been here recently. I feel that. But at the time where I felt like I was needed the most, I feel the worst. But sometimes God puts us there, and we call those seasons sometimes a pruning, because sometimes we've got to let certain things go in our life. We got to let those things go. We got to let those things go so that God can reveal Himself and say, listen, I'm going to bring you out of this. And the only way you're going to come out of this and know that you came out of this is because I brought you out of this. You didn't come out of this because you brought you out of this. You didn't come out of this because the doctor brought you out of this. You came out of this because I brought you out of this. Amen. Amen. That's what God does. And throughout all the scriptures, we can start back. Hope was developed through hard times. All the scriptures. You know, a bush, sometimes a bush gets yellow and raggedy and starts to look bad. And sometimes you've got to prune it back. And it strengthens the roots. And then when it comes back better than it ever did. More beautiful than it ever did. And that's what God does to us sometimes. And He does that for a benefit. He does it, and it's not easy. It's not easy. If we look at Romans, I want to look at Romans chapter 5 this morning. I've got just a few scriptures to read this morning. I want you to listen to what the Word says this morning. I'm going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word. Lord, just let me speak Your Word the way you want me to say it this morning. Open up our hearts and clear our minds that we might receive You into our lives. And when we leave here, Lord, we leave better than we was when we came because we've heard Your Word. And I praise You in all things said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we are also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. You get what I'm saying? We develop hope. Hope is developed through suffering sometimes. That's where hope comes from. It comes from perseverance. And when we persevere, we gain character. People gain character through bad times in their life. When they overcome things, when they go through things in their life, it develops the character that they are. And when they're able to overcome those things, when we're able to bounce back, God doesn't want us to stay down. He wants us to bounce back, and we develop perseverance and character, and that's what brings hope. Because we know that when we're down in the muck, when we're brought out of that, only God's the one that gets the glory out of that, because we know He's the one that brought us out of that. Amen. Come on now. And hope does not put, verse 5, and hope does not put us in shame. Who's our hope in? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ doesn't shame us. He died on a cross for us so we could have eternity with Him. And that wasn't done through an easy road, right? We're going to talk about that in a minute. He says, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Amen. You know, when we go back and look at the scriptures, let's look at Isaiah chapter 11. This is a scripture that's a Christmas scripture, I could say. It's a Christmas scripture. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 through 3. Says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. Now, if we look at this and we think back, see, the stump of Jesse, see, David's house had been cut off. It wasn't doing any good, right? But they had hope that a Messiah was going to come one of these days. They had hope that a Messiah was going to be born. And they had this vision of that. And that's what kept them going. That's what kept the Jewish nation going for all these years. That's what kept them going, is that hope that someday a Messiah would come. And when we look back, let's go back a little further and we look at Moses. You know, Moses was born in the Pharaoh's oppression time, where he was going to slay the firstborn, right? And so what? Moses, you know, was born in hard times, in a hopeless time. They were also looking for somebody to come and get them out of bondage. They were looking. They had hope that someday somebody was going to come and get them out of bondage. And so Moses was born. Well, then he was born and he had to be put in a basket and floated down the river. Well, then, you know the story there where, you know, they found him and then they raised him in the Pharaoh. Well, then what happened? You know, he ended up having to flee to the mountains and he became a shepherd. And then God called him. You know, he saw the burning bush and then God said, "You're going to go get my people." Those weren't the best of times for Moses. So what's he do? He goes and he finally convinces Pharaoh. He's getting them out. And then, you know, but God didn't lead the people out easy way, did he? God always does things the hard way. Have you noticed that? He does. He does a lot of things. He does things the hard way. You know, they think they're going, man, they got it made. And then they start across here and then they get to the Red Sea and whoop, here's the Red Sea. Why didn't God just take them around the Red Sea? You know, but then Pharaoh's chasing them, you know. And so what's God do? He shows himself. He opens up the Red Sea and lets them go through. See, he encourages their hope in hard times. Anytime the church, anytime they get discouraged, if you read the scripture, anytime they get discouraged, somehow God, through their hard times, even though they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years, God always seemed to show his self to them at a time where it was only him. You understand what I'm saying? It can only be proved by him. I mean, somebody that parts the Red Sea, that's pretty much God. I mean, that's pretty much a big deal, right? Water coming out of a rock. I mean, manna falling from heaven. All these things that happened. I mean, we can look at Jesus born in oppression. You know, here's Mary. Can you imagine becoming pregnant? I mean, that wasn't an easy thing. She's a young teenage girl, and all of a sudden now she's pregnant in a time where that was a big deal then. That was a hard time for her. And then Joseph, himself, knowing that it's not his child. Maybe people believed that it's his child, and they did something they wasn't supposed to do before they got married. And now he has to live with that, and he has to accept that. That wasn't easy for him to do. But God showed himself, the angel showed himself to Mary, angel showed Joseph. And then what happened? Then they had to leave out of fear for their firstborn because they were under Roman oppression and they didn't want Jesus to be killed. Well, that wasn't easy either, you know, and then they make it to, she's going to have the baby and now they have to have it in a barn? Jesus was born in rough times. But that's the hope that we have developed in hard times. Our life is like that. You know, was it easy for... Why didn't God... You know, like David. Let's look at David. Why didn't God just have the army just attack Goliath and kill him? He could have done that. But no, he sends David, a young boy with a rock and a slingshot. Why? To show himself in hard times. You understand what I'm saying? We have hope in hard times. And I know some of us go through some things, but my encouragement to you to this morning is when you're going through those hard times in your life, remember that you have hope. You have somebody that understands what it means to go through hard times because he did it too. Gideon, he had 32,000 soldiers that he could have used. God said, no, 300. God shows himself through hard times. Man, we have a Savior. We have a Savior that was born in hard times, lived in a not the best neighborhood. I mean, whenever he left to go do his ministry, when he left home, he didn't have a house to live in. He said, I don't even have a pillow to lay my head on. He was mocked. He was beat. I mean, he was mocked. He was arrested. I mean, I think about that. It really humbles me to think what our Messiah went through. And then we complain about some of the things that we go through in our life. You know, he was arrested. He was beaten. Spit on. I mean, you name it. They did it to him. Drug him, made him carry a cross up through the streets, being yelled at and screamed at. His own people turned against him. That's the way people do, you know, they turn against you. I'm just saying. People that love you. But that's what they did to him. Hard times. We go through hard times sometimes in our life. Family issues, health issues, I could go on. We all go through those kinds of things sometimes, some point in our life. But in those hard times, we have hope. You know, he was crucified on a cross. Those weren't good times, were they? But where our hope is on the third day. Because on the third day, Jesus rose and he proved himself through the hard times. He said, you can beat me, you can kill me, you can do those things to me, but I'm telling you what, I'm still God and I'm going to show you I'm God. And I'm going to reveal myself in a way that you only know that it was me. And he did that on the third day when he rose again. That's the hope that we live in. That's the hope that we live in, even through hard times in our lives. That's the hope I stand on. I hope you understand what I'm saying this morning, because we have a God that understands. Jesus understands the things that we go through. He knows. And he cares about, or he wouldn't have died. He wouldn't have done all those things if he didn't care. He loves you. And he wants you to spend eternity with him. That's my hope. You know, sometimes we get down and we look back and we think we have no hope. We go through all these things and Satan wants us to always be looking back. But Paul said, run the race. Run the race is what he said. You know, we got to keep moving forward. We go through bad times. You know, we can look back and look at all the problems that we've had. And we can say, you know, we can look back, but we don't want to look back, because when you look back, I'm telling you, you can't run and look back at the same time. You can't move forward and look back at the same time. God doesn't want us to look back at our past. Because when I look back at my past, I'll see death and destruction. That's what I came from. But because of Jesus Christ and what he did for me, I look forward to the mark. I run the race with perseverance. I look towards the mark. I look towards the hope. And that's where we have. Our hope is in him. And we got to look towards the hope in him. And that's what I'm talking about this morning. That's what I'm talking about right here, where it says, I have confidence, I have faith, I have trust, I have belief, I also have conviction, but I also have assurance that Jesus Christ is going to see me through all this mess that I'm going through now. Amen. Amen. We don't live forever. The Bible says that. It's just a fact. One of these days, I'm not going to be here anymore. But my hope, my faith, my confidence is that when I leave this world, I'm going to be standing face to face with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I believe that with all my heart. So whatever happens to me here, Paul says, if I die today, it's my gain. I'll stay here as long as God wants me to. I'll do what He wants me to do. But Paul didn't live in easy times, did he? Paul suffered a lot, more so than all of the disciples did. They went through hard times in their life. Paul and Silas and I could just name all the things that they went through. But they always had hope. They were always praising God. They were always looking forward. Like Paul, he was always looking forward. He never was looking back. And we can't do that because every time we start looking back, that's when we fail. We can't look back. You can't look back anymore. You got to strive forward. That's what God wants us to do in the church. As a church body, we come here to be united together in one accord, praising His holy name. Each individual, I love this because the Scripture says, you know, when Jesus died, when He died on the cross, He rent the temple in two. Paul said, God doesn't live in a box made by human hands. He doesn't live in a synagogue made by human hands. He doesn't live there. That's not where He dwells anymore. He dwells within you if you're a believer in Him. He lives within inside you. When you accept Him into your life, you accept Christ into you. You become the tabernacle. You become that sanctuary. Amen? You are the sanctuary of Jesus Christ. And it's a wonderful time when the saints come together. That's why Paul said, don't forsake the gathering of each. Don't forsake assembly. Because when the saints come together in one accord, and I said this before, man, what a wonderful thing. Great things happen. He doesn't want us to look backwards. I looked for a bouncy ball this morning. I don't know why this came to my head. I was looking in Jacob's room, and of course, I think he's growing out of bouncy balls. But we used to have bouncy balls everywhere, you know. But, you know, when you drop a bouncy ball, if you drop it on carpet, it doesn't bounce very far, does it? What does it take to make that bouncy ball fly the highest? It takes hard service, doesn't it? That's the way God wants us to be. He wants us, sometimes when we get dropped on a hard time or a hard surface, He wants us to bounce back higher than we ever did before. That's what He wants us to do. He doesn't want us to stay down there on the floor. He doesn't want us to stay down there on the, you know, He doesn't want us to live there. He wants us to look forward. He wants us to bounce high, and He wants us to bounce back. And how we do that is the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. I hope you have hope this morning in Him. I don't know what else to say this morning. This first Sunday of Advent, hope. God just put this on me. He's like, hope. It means something. Come on now. You have hope this morning? Got hope in Jesus. That's something to shout about, isn't it? Amen, amen, Brother Curly. That's something to shout about. It's something to get excited about. It stirs my spirit. I got hope. I got something to look forward to. This life is not it. But sometimes we dwell in it. Sometimes we want to just worry about all the things that are going on in our lives and live that miserable life down here instead of saying, I've got hope. I've got better than this. Come on. I love the Lord this morning. I believe every word that Bible says. I do. I want to see not only myself personally always moving forward. That's my goal. I want to see this church moving forward. I want to see you guys moving forward spiritually. That's my goal in life. If that's all I can preach is hope and love, I mean, that's what He requires of us. That's what He wants, right? Where's your hope at this morning? Where's your hope at this morning? Is it in Him? because that's, man, I'm almost speechless right now. All I know is God loves you. He loves you, or he wouldn't have sent his son here to die for you. We're representing the next four, I mean, up until Christmas, the next four Sundays is a season of moving forward. It's a season of moving forward. It's a season of expectation, of hope, peace, and love that only God can bring to you. Only God can bring those things. There's nothing in this world that can bring you that but our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I hope you believe Him today. Dear Heavenly Father, I praise You. Lord, I hope I spoke exactly what You wanted me to say this morning. Lord, and I pray if there's anybody here this morning that doesn't know You as Your Lord and Savior, Lord, I just ask that You be with them this morning. You touch them this morning. And they have an opportunity right now to accept You into their life. All they have to do is ask. Lord, and You're there. You're willing to forgive. You said, that's what You said You'd do. Lord, if there's anyone here that's going through a rough time in their life, Lord, I just ask You to lift them up. Just lift them up and tell them that, you know, You have hope. You don't have to stay here any longer. Lord, I praise You. I praise You for this church. We're here to serve You, Lord. We're here to honor You. We're here for You. This is for You. Oh, Father. Forgive us, Lord. I praise You. I thank You. Keep us safe. Keep us always mindful of You. Keep us filled with Your Holy Spirit. Lord, and as Lord, I can just picture as You surround this place with a circle of fire, this hedge of protection. Thank You for what You did. I praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.